Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And if you happen to live in these United States, I hope you are enjoying a fruitful, successful, productive, relaxing, whatever you choose, Labor Day.
Yeah.
For those of you who are not from these United States, I hope you're enjoying a Monday.
Yeah.
And if you have time to spend on that Labor Day, you should definitely take some of it to check out our website at hauntweekly.com. We're Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. See, segue.
Yeah, I'm going to start rating you on these segues. That was not one of the better ones.
Oh.
Gonna say.
So we're just starting the ratings and I'm already failing.
Exactly.
This is basically my life, people. I just want you to know this. This is my life, really. Haunt Weekly on Twitter. We're also youtube.com/hauntweekly. All of our previous episodes are available there, but also on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Podcast Addict, Heroin Addict, all the places you get podcasts, we're there. Well, this is episode 196, getting really close to 200.
I know.
And we haven't even planned anything yet. Might need to start having those conversations. But it is an episode divisible by four. Therefore, it means it's time to do
the news.
And that is what we are going to do. But first thing is first, we have our conference reminders. Crystal, will you kind? No, wait, I do the even ones.
Yeah,
I got it backwards. I'm sorry. It's been a bit of a day.
Yeah.
Conference reminders, I will kick things off with saying, this coming weekend, September 6th through 8th in Indianapolis, Indiana, it's Mask Fest / Horror Hound Film Fest at the Indiana Convention Center. Features mask makers and makeup artists of all types, as well as a film festival. If you are looking for some last-minute tips and things to improve your haunt's makeup, this might be exactly what you need. Maskfest.com for more details.
Okay. September 28th through the 29th at Scary Dad's Haunted Halloween Show Part 3 in Houston, Texas at the Crown Plaza Hotel Houston Galleria. Tons of vendors. Tickets are just $10. Hosted by Scary Dad Podcast. NightmareRetreat.com for more info.
All right. That same weekend, if you're in Arizona and not Houston, there's a pretty big geographic gap there. In Phoenix, Arizona, it'll be the Arizona Haunted Swap Meet, September 28th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Metro Center Mall Northwest Entrance, hosted by AZ Haunters Forum, the Arizona Haunters Forum at AZ. hauntedswapmeet.com for more details.
Okay, October 4th through the 5th and the 11th through the 12th, so the first two weekends in October. It's the Lost Souls Chicago Bus Tour in Chicago, Illinois. Locations will vary. They do have some information up now about where you'll be touring, including Basement of the Dead, Hell's Gate, and Statesville Prison. Indiana tour includes Fear Itself with 5 attractions and Haunted Hills Hospital.
Might be coming back to that one. Mm-hmm. Put a pen in that name.
Yeah. Yes. 13th Floor, The Catacombs, and Evil Intentions. Abandoned, MC Henry, JC's, and Realm of Terror. After parties by Haunted House Chicago. Those were pretty fun last time.
Yeah, they were.
There's also some behind the scenes tours.
Yeah, each night, the last haunt, you visit the haunt, mm-hmm. and then you do a behind the scenes tour after.
Yeah.
So it's every night of the 4 nights, you get one behind the scenes tour. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. 2-night pass is just $240. LostSoulsChicago.com for more info.
And here's the thing, man. If you break that down, you cannot visit those haunts.
No.
All those haunts were $240 in most cases.
No.
Because you got to realize, you know, you're getting 2 nights for that. So you're getting, usually it's 6 different haunts.
Right.
And you're getting better than VIP access. Fuck VIP. VIP's not good enough.
No.
Better than VIP, plus transportation to them.
Right.
Plus entertainment while you're being transported.
Yes. And I'm sure that it's like last year, there'll be lots of goodies given away on the bus.
Oh, my God.
It's a ton of fun. If it is 6 that you're going to over the 2-night period, that's 40 per haunt. So you're definitely getting a better deal.
Yeah, you're getting a hell of a steal here. I'm just telling you straight. And some of these look really interesting. Like we did... basement at Hell's Gate, Statesville Prison, and abandoned last year.
Right.
But that Indiana tour looks really interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, we also did Evil Intentions last year.
Yes.
Sorry, it was snuck in there. But yeah, they've also got MC Henry's JC Haunt, and a long running, I think it's been going on like 35 years, JC Haunt.
Yeah.
We've
those are hard to find now.
I think we've mentioned them a few times in the podcast, actually, because of their longevity. So there's a lot here. If you're in the area, check it out. Now, if you're in Atlanta, Georgia, you got another opportunity, and that is the Legendary Haunt Tour, November 8th and 9th. Meeting at the Gwinnett Place Hotel, we'll be touring Netherworld Haunted House and Aatrox in Leeds, Alabama, among others. LegendaryHauntTour.com for all the details. So some great haunt tours coming up. I mean, and that's something I like to see. I think this is a really good thing, not just for haunted houses and haunted attractions, but for haunt lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I remember our trip to Atlanta, the SWAT-like precision we were planning, and we had maps with overlays and...
Yeah, you did a great job planning all that.
Oh, and it went off without a hitch, too. I'm very proud with how well we executed it. The biggest hitch was finding the fucking hotel we were staying at, which was literally like at platform 9 3/4 at some station. You have to pull into the McDonald's parking lot and believe it's the hotel.
Right. Believe there's a hotel behind it.
It was so weird. That was the hardest. That was the biggest flub, was that. And we ended up getting to the hotel late, so we didn't have as long to rest and recuperate before doing the first night of haunting. Would have appreciated the extra 2 hours we should have had.
Yeah, I know.
But that was the only flub. And it's like, oh my God, it was the first thing, too. It's like, oh my God, this trip's so screwed up. We're never going to recover from this. But no, it went fine after that. But no, it was so much work. But these haunt tours take that work off your back.
Mm-hmm.
You get to do a lot of haunts in short order and let someone else handle the planning.
Yeah.
And someone who knows the haunts and knows this, you know, they can, yeah, it's a good idea. Trust me.
Yeah, don't give yourself that headache.
Yeah, believe me, it's a headache. If you try to, we did 10 haunts in 2.5 nights.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, something like that. It was crazy.
It was crazy. And I do not recommend it for health reasons.
No.
All right, well, before we jump into the news, quick updates about our haunt. I am still feeling ill. I have been... The road to recovery has been slow and hilly.
Yeah.
It's been up and down. I've had good days, good hours, I would say, and bad hours. It's been up and down. I'm doing much better than last week, and that's for damn sure. I don't think there's any argument there, but I'm still not feeling fully well. Woke up today feeling pretty good. It's been down some in the afternoon. Feeling all right now as we record, but, you know, it's been up and down. That means we haven't done as much in the haunts we usually do over Labor Day weekend, and I'm a bit miffed about that, honestly. We did skin, and we, by the time most people are listening to this, we'll have skinned and affixed our bar, probably. I see that working out pretty well. We got most of the work on that done yesterday. We still need to do molding and paint it. It looks like shit because we had some issues with the wood we chose for it.
Yeah.
We're trying to get rid of the last of the OSB. And so when we have projects like this that, you know, we have to skin something or cover something, if we can, we're just pulling old OSB down that we're going to replace with proper plywood later on.
Yeah.
But the piece of plywood we pulled for this job, while big enough, was not actually in any remote way, shape, or form factory.
No.
We had apparently mangled this sumbitch like 10 years ago pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like we're assuming that this is a factory. So it's not.
Yeah. We thought we had 3 factory edges. We only had 2.
And we had 2, maybe 2, maybe 1, honestly, at the end of the day. It was pretty crappy. So we ended up having some struggles there that should not have happened. But it's going to be done. We'll do the molding a little bit later. We've got to pick up some cheap, maybe we can get some scrap molding from somewhere. Cause we don't need anything in particular. We just need something to cover up our rough edges.
Right.
At Bernie Baxter, we like to put the rough in rough carpentry.
Yes.
The extremely rough.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, once that's done, that room and the pass-through is done, that room should be structurally ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that leaves only one more actual build before we're ready to paint, decorate, and light the entirety of the haunt.
Yeah.
Which is still a good place to be.
It is.
I'm not feeling too bad about it. I'm just miffed that we lost our 3-day weekend to this. So yeah, we will do that. We will get onto that next. We got to move into the bathroom and do that build. But that will be the last of the actual big builds, I think.
Yeah.
Other than the outside, new outside facade and L, which...
Which will wait until the last.
That's going to be one of the last things we do.
Yeah.
Mostly because it impedes us getting in and out of the haunt.
Yeah.
So the later we can push that back, the better for our sanity.
Yeah.
In other news, the road construction has not progressed any.
Nope.
I'm a little miffed about that too, because I was sick, like really bedridden sick for about a week there.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking, as I'm laying there in terrible pain, looking up at the dark room, trying to listen to podcasts and whatever to distract my mind, thinking, at least they're probably working on the road and moving that forward. And I can take confidence and comfort. No, they weren't doing a fucking thing. And they still didn't do a fucking thing this week on it.
No.
Now, we're still waiting on the sidewalks on their side. They've laid the curbs down, but there's been no actual paving. And they haven't done anything to our side at all. No. We're not torn up. We're not, you know what I mean?
No.
They haven't begun. And it's September 1st as we're recording this,
mm-hmm.
or September 2nd, which is, what is today?
2nd.
2nd, it's the 2nd. So it's September 2nd, and we know they began the other side June 11th.
Yeah.
Or was it July 11th?
July 11th.
It was July 11th, sorry. Now, I'm no mathematician.
Yeah.
I'm just a lowly country lawyer. But I know that timing does not look good for finishing by Halloween.
It does not.
And so we're still moving forward. We're still progressing exactly the same as if we're going to open this year. Because we really don't have a choice on that. We're going to keep progressing, but we'll have to pull some kind of trigger one way or the other into September.
Yeah.
We did get a little bit of good news this week, though. At least I consider it good news. And that is we are getting our spirit. Apparently...
Yeah.
Somebody at Spirit Headquarters is an avid Haunt Weekly listener, is what I'm determined.
Or the area franchisee.
Or the area franchisee, at the very least, is an avid Haunt Weekly listener. And listen to us mocking the absolutely asinine, stupid, back-ass-words locations they had for the haunt.
Yeah.
And realize they didn't have a Spirit Halloween on the West Bank side of a major metropolitan area divided by a river.
Yeah.
And if that sounds stupid, it's because it is.
Right.
So they are setting it up. In fact, when we were at Home Depot yesterday, we were there to scout their Halloween selection. That's going to be next week's podcast, probably, is the retail roundup.
Mm-hmm.
We were there, and we saw them unloading stuff in there. So they're going to open up in the exact same location, maybe one unit down or something, but the same shopping center, same everything as previously. And that's good news for our flyer distribution. I mean, I'm not, like I said, hot on Spirit for buying things anymore. Mm-hmm. Though, like I said, and spoiler for next week, I'm very impressed by their foam weapons this go around.
Yeah.
I'm actually quite impressed.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't use them to hit things, but as far as appearance and just wielding them, they look pretty good and they're cheap.
Yeah.
So, you know, just saying. Maybe this is going to be something, this is a spoiler for next week, but anyways. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad it means we don't have to retool our flyer distribution that we're probably going to anyway.
Just in case this comes up again.
Well, and that, and I like the idea of putting more emphasis on the area of businesses than the shotgun approach of Spirit.
Right.
Because Spirit is basically, we're going to Home Depot for wood or for screws or some crap. Hey, we'll swing by Spirit. We'll drop off a stack of a shit ton of flyers.
Yeah.
Wave at them politely and get the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of more strategic flyer distribution and getting more involved with local businesses and doing that, because we've done a decent job of that, but we can do better.
Yeah.
And I think we should do better.
We should.
So that's the update on our haunt this week. Yeah, we successfully killed 15 minutes here. Good job, team. So the news. Crystal, would you like to take the first one?
Sure.
No, or would you like me to start?
No, it's okay. Okay, so the first one is about a new haunted theme park to bring Hollywood-style chills to Western Pennsylvania.
We got, if you're in Pittsburgh area, these first two things are for you.
Yeah, yeah. But the press release is by Adventure Acres. They are getting a new haunted scream park. It sounds like a lot of fun. It's going to be in Uniontown, PA. It opens on September 13th. So that's pretty early start.
Yeah, a lot of haunts are doing that because it's a Friday.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing a lot of haunts open that day.
Well, yeah, because it's September. It's Friday the 13th.
In fact, isn't New Orleans Nightmare doing like a one weekend only thing on September 13th and opening their regular season? They're doing something like that.
There are several that are doing that, and it's interesting to do a soft open and then have a week close and then open for real.
Yeah.
That's weird timing to me.
And as a haunt reviewee aficionado person, that doesn't make me want to go during that on the 13th.
No, because it's going to be the opening weekend, essentially.
Yeah, they're doing a 13. They're running a special. They're opening up for the 13th. It's $13 for a ticket, and then they're not doing anything until the 20th again. So they're waiting until a full week and then opening on the 20th.
Yeah.
And then the schedule gets more and more packed as the season moves on.
Right. Okay, but the Haunted Hill Estate is going to feature three haunted attractions. It's going to be the house, which is a traditional haunted mansion, the Imperium, which is the world's first escape house, which sounds like a really cool idea.
Yeah.
Not sure how it's going to pan out, but it sounds fun.
My butthole clenched in thinking about throughput on this.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And it'll include the Deadwoods Challenge Trail. Must avoid creatures trying to grab your flags, so it's like a zombie run type thing.
But expected haunted. To actually run.
And yeah.
It sounds more like a walk where you're dodging stuff rather than what we think of as like a zombie 5K. We've done a zombie 5K.
Right.
And I learned that people very close to me are fucking traitorous. I said I wanted to run a zombie 5K because I was big into running then. I was a much better runner then. And both Crystal and her fucking dad said, all right, we're zombies.
Yeah.
Fuck both of you. Fuck you.
We weren't running.
You didn't have to be zombies either. You could have just cheered me on.
Well, we couldn't cheer you on from, you know, back at the start line. Had to be on the course.
Oh, God.
We wouldn't have seen you running. I didn't see you anyway.
Yeah, they stuck you in the shittiest place of all.
Yeah, they did.
So that wasn't fair to you. But no, I like this because each attraction sounds truly unique.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we hear like a Haunted Scream Park is like, oh yeah, we got three attractions, but they're very similar. They're three different themes.
Right.
And okay, that can be a lot of variety. You can do some cool stuff with that. Don't get me wrong. But this is like each attraction is a very different attraction. You have a traditional haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
You have whatever this escape house stuff is. The press release leaves more to the imagination than it answers.
Yeah.
And then you have an actual trail, which has a competitive element to it.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds really fun, and it sounds like it's interesting take on a scream park.
Yeah.
We'll see how they do.
All right. Yeah, like I said, I love that they're doing three very different styles of attractions. Because, mm-hmm. like with Scout Island, by the way, Scout Island is opening this year. I did find that out, but it doesn't seem like they've changed a whole hell of a lot looking at their promotional material.
Yeah, I didn't expect them to.
I was hoping they would. I was hoping they would take this opportunity to iterate. Because first year is always rough.
And what they may do is they may improve. They may have seen where they could improve. Because that's kind of what you do in your first year.
Yeah.
Is figure out where your problems are, improve on it. And I'm sure that they're taking the time to do that.
I hope so. We'll see. It'll be interesting. We're going to go. We'll let you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they had three haunted attractions there. One was a trail, one was a fun house, and one was zombie laser tag.
Yes.
So you had three very different styles of attractions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, the fun house was really short.
It was.
But the trail was cool. Mm-hmm. I dug the trail, and the zombie laser tag was probably the most fun I've had at a zombie laser tag, which is saying very little, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I would agree. It was a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, moving on to another Pittsburgh story. This one is an article by WTAE TV. TV? Scarehouse announces a new attraction in Strip District. By the way, I am very curious about the Strip District. I'm pretty sure it is not nearly as exciting as my New Orleans brain makes it out to be. But yeah. I'm still intrigued.
Well, yeah. Whenever I read the headline, I thought you were talking about something very different.
So did I when I first read it. Anyways, they have announced a new attraction in the City Strip District. It features both an immersive experience they call the Basement, which sounds more like an extreme-ish or full-contact haunted attraction. Once again, the press release leaves more to the imagination than it answers in this article.
Right.
Even though it's an article written by WTATV, it's based on the press release. They're not giving away details about what it is, other than to call it an immersive experience.
Yeah.
Which is like saying action-adventure shooter in a video game.
Yeah, well, and haunts are fairly immersive to begin with.
I can say that about our haunt. We're an immersive experience. Boom.
Yeah, exactly.
All 525 square feet of us, we're an immersive.
Yeah, exactly.
And they have a new escape room called Stalked by a Killer. Now, one of the clues is that the Basement is limited to 18 and up and will require a waiver. We've talked about waivers before and how stupid they are.
Right.
If you want to learn how stupid waivers are, just go to your local BDSM community and speak with them. They'll explain it much more succinctly than we can.
Yeah.
They're very nice people, almost certainly, I assure you. But they will give you an education in why waivers are a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Just trust me. And it's actually going to be paired, and this was their thing I found fun, with Zombie Den, a zombie pop-up bar that opens up in Market Square. I don't know if Market Square is nearby or anything, but a zombie pop-up bar, it seems to be put on by the same people.
Yeah.
This is pretty cool.
Yeah, I would go to a zombie pop-up
bar. I'd totally go to a zombie pop-up bar. Dude, my stomach hasn't been right in 2 weeks, and I'd still go to a zombie pop-up bar.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, yeah, no, this sounds like a lot of fun, and Pittsburgh is... It's always interesting because we talk about like how regions like come up and really have like a blossoming haunted attraction scene. Mm-hmm. I think Pittsburgh and that Western Pennsylvania might be one of the ones to watch right now.
Yeah,
I really do because it seems like Scarehouse is, of course, a major name, and they're expanding seemingly to the downtown area, which is something we don't see a lot.
Right,
you don't see a lot of attractions in downtown areas.
Yeah. I believe it was Necromancer, I think, is the most downtown
haunt we've
been to lately.
Which was, that one was weird because, yeah, it was downtown Shreveport, as in on the river, in the major shopping district. But it was in this weird, well, shopping district where no cars are allowed, it's walking only.
Yeah, well, but I think that is the downtown shopping area.
Yeah.
So...
Like the outlet mall type thing. It was.
Yeah, I don't know that area well enough to be able to speak to it. It felt like downtown.
It did, and I unfortunately have no inclination to learn more about Shreveport. So my apologies to the wonderful people at Necromancer. But our time at Shreveport was not endearing to us, and it was not their fault.
No.
How's that?
Yeah.
We'll just leave it there.
Okay.
We were there for bad reasons to start with, to be honest.
No.
So yeah. No, but seriously, Pittsburgh is going to be a place to watch, I think, for haunted attractions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Our next story comes from the Claremont Sun. It's Haunted Attraction Company Takes Over Old West Festival. And all I can think of when I'm reading this is Cowboy Town up near.
Oh, God. You see, you think Cowboy Town, I think Ghost Town in the Sky from North Carolina.
Yeah.
But you're right, Cowboy Town's a good point of reference, too. But okay, real fast, for the people who are ignorant on this, which hopefully is everyone.
Well, yeah, because this was a failed, like
okay,
the biggest failure I can think of.
I'll try to
of.
Keep this brief. I-49 runs from Lafayette, Louisiana, all the way towards Shreveport.
Yeah.
And it runs right by the town in the center of the state called Alexandria.
Right.
Which Alexandria... it gave birth to Louisiana Nightmares, which gave us rise to the 13th Gate, and that is all the good I'm going to say about it. We're going to leave the conversation about Alexandria.
Yeah.
How's that?
That sounds good.
That's the best place to leave it for Alexandrians. For some reason, someone had this brilliant idea that on the I-49 north of Alexandria, so there's a huge swath of absolute jack shit.
Yeah,
between Alexandria and Shreveport. There's nothing. Just it's literally, they've recently upped the speed to 75 miles an hour because there's so much fucking nothing.
You want to get through it as fast as
you can. They realize that they can't make people drive slow through it.
Right.
But they thought, hey, this is the perfect place to put a multi-million dollar, huge rodeo complex, shopping district, bar district.
Mm-hmm.
And it failed spectacularly. They held like two events and it has just been sitting empty ever since. And you can literally drive past it and see it. It is this giant. It is mammoth. I don't know how many square feet it is, but it's got to be over 100,000 square feet. It's got, yeah. It's giant. It has like 12 shops all empty.
Okay.
One or two restaurant places. But yeah, that's what she's thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so back to the Old
Sorry.
West Festival
Sorry.
In
yes.
Williamsburg, Ohio.
The reason you listen to this podcast, supposedly.
That was so it was purchased by All Hallows Eve, which is a prop fabrication haunted attraction company. And over the last year, they have been spending a lot of time and I'm sure money transforming it into Cincinnati's first 19th century haunted theme park. They're going to have a ton of things to do, including bars, multiple restaurants.
Multiple. Three multiple. Bars, four restaurants.
Exactly. An outdoor theater, carnival games, haunted trail based on 19th century folklore, which is very interesting.
I gotta say, that this is an area haunted attractions don't explore very much.
I know. And I'm not sure why. Well,
I mean, maybe it's just us because we haven't been to many haunts west of like Texas or so forth. You know, I've only been there with any.
Yeah, not even West Texas. Yeah. So
we maybe were missing all the cowboy themed haunts.
Right.
Maybe they're just not in the area we've been, but we haven't seen many.
Yeah. No, they are doing the whole consent to grabbing by purchasing a red bracelet. We've talked about this before and how it's worked at other places, what the reviews were, and basically I'm hoping that they do it better than what we've heard, because a lot of times places that offer this will focus on the people that have consented to grabbing and leave everybody else completely alone, not giving them any show.
I've always found that idea to be somewhat frustrating, because it's like whenever I don't particularly enjoy that style of haunting. I don't find it very scary. I find it more annoying. So the first thought is, okay, then don't get the fucking bracelet, Jonathan. Just go to the haunt. But then it's like, but then I'm not getting the full show.
Exactly.
So which is it? Do I, you know, risk being peeved and annoyed at all this grabbing?
Right.
Because that's one of the things. It's like when haunts go all in on grabbing far too often, and we've seen this at multiple places, it's like that is all they know to do to scare people.
Yeah.
Everything is about the grab, the touch, the pin, the all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I just find it so annoying.
Yeah.
I mean,
I do too.
What I should do is make sure my BO is like really bad when I go, and then go to pin me against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I should not do that. That's actually really mean.
Yeah.
But no, I agree with you. The complaint we've seen over and over, and even in big haunts like Eastern State Penn, we've heard this.
Right.
Is that they ignore the people without the bracelets or the necklaces or whatever.
Yeah.
And I hope
the
that's
indicator.
Not basically what I would do if I were them is I would set aside a very small number of actors, maybe 10% of your actors, to be the grabbers.
Yeah. Or have hours, break up the hours.
Yeah.
So that if you are here doing these hours, you consent to being touched. And if you're...
Yeah, that's tougher to do because that's now a marketing thing. You've got to really market the crap out of that.
I know.
Yeah. But no, I think if you designate a small percentage of your actors as the grabbers and train them very well in doing it, too, and how to do it well, A, that makes it less of a constant presence.
Right.
And B, it ensures that 90% of the actors are targeting everyone.
Yeah. No, that's a good way to go about
it. I think that's how I would do it if I were going to do it. But that's just me talking.
That sounds like a good way. And if anybody goes, let us know if they do that correctly and what you thought, and if it's actually 30 minutes long walkthrough.
Yeah. Other things. Now, you go to their website, they mention they also do a Christmas show. They're doing a lot of seasonal things there.
Right.
Which makes sense. You don't buy a goddamn theme park to open it for 2 months out of the year. That just seems stupid.
Right.
So, no, they're doing a lot of seasonal things, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, kudos to them. Good job. All right. We got our usual spate of HHN news. We got three Halloween Horror Night stories, and all of them look pretty badass to me.
Yeah.
First off, we got two Maze announcements. I'll do the first one. You'll do the second one. This article is by Kristen Paletis at Narcity. Narcity?
Narcity.
We'll just say Narcity. HHN Orlando, this is the East Coast one, will feature a House of a Thousand Corpses maze. Now, this article actually makes light of how ironic that is.
Yeah.
Because basically, Rob Zombie shot the film, sold the rights to Universal. Universal took one look at it and went, holy shit, this is too bloody and violent. We don't want it. So Rob Zombie had to buy the rights back and then go to Lionsgate. Now, Lionsgate's the villain in another film story we love, which is Repo, the Genetic Opera.
Right.
They're the villain in that story, but apparently they're the hero in this one. They took it and distributed it, and the rest is history. The maze itself will be in two parts, basically. The first will feature Captain Spaulding's Museum of Monsters and Mad Men, the famous murder ride. To go back to the original film, and the Firefly Family House, too, which featured very heavily in the film. Honestly, House of a Thousand Corpses, to me, was the weaker of the Rob Zombie horror films so far.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like it all that much. I felt he wore his influences too tightly on his sleeve, and the result was I felt like I'd seen parts of the film before.
Yeah.
On the first viewing. That being said, Devil's Rejects is one of my favorite horror movies of all time, so he learned his lessons and then came back and did something really great with the second one. So I'm happy about it. This was a needed stepping stone, and I do think it will make for a good haunted attraction, too.
Yeah, I do, too.
I think that's the other thing, is sometimes, like, weaker horror movies make better haunted houses.
Yeah.
I think that's just the truth.
Yeah.
This translates well to a haunted attraction medium, because a lot of it was them wandering through this house and horrible things happening and making horrible discoveries, which is exactly what you're going to be doing in a haunted maze.
Exactly.
So it all works. I'm excited about it. And that, and I've always wanted to go on the murder ride.
Yeah.
The murder ride was the best goddamn part of the movie, let's be honest. Let's just not kid ourselves. That and Captain Spaulding in general, but
yeah.
The murder ride. I want to do the murder ride.
Okay, so in other HHN news, Creepshow is going to come to life at Universal Studios.
Yes!
In Hollywood. So this is on the other side.
Yes, this is Hollywood, unfortunately. We definitely can't make this one, but god damn it, this is all, sounds awesome.
Yeah, this article is from Promote Horror. So it's based off the 1982 horror anthology. It's also now a Shudder original.
Which we have not fucking seen a single one of.
Yeah, well, I'm just now learning about it because, you know.
I actually heard about it, but I didn't realize it was already out.
Oh, okay.
I'd heard that they were doing it. I did not hear it was out.
Kind of like The Dark Crystal. I heard
yeah.
They're redoing it.
Yeah, they're redoing The Dark Crystal.
Like the next day, it's out for viewing. It's
like, what the fuck?
It's like, awesome, can't wait. Oh, you mean I don't have to wait. Got it.
Awesome, can't wait. Oh, good, I don't have to. This is excellent, yes.
Exactly. But it will feature five of the fables, Father's Day, The Create, They're Creeping Up on You, Gray Matter, and Bad Wolf Down.
I think that's The Crate. I apologize. I think
okay.
Autocorrect got it.
I was wondering.
I think Autocorrect might have had a hand in that one.
Yeah. So those are your stories that it's going to be going
through. I loved the original Creepshow growing up. It was one of my first horror movies I recall seeing.
Yeah.
I think Trick or Treat was just a smidge bettered for me.
Well, and we do like that style of anthology
movies. Yes, we do love our anthology movies. I need to go back and rewatch Halloween 2. The anthology one they did in the middle.
Yeah.
Because I didn't give it a fair chance when I first saw it. I'm like, where's Michael Myers?
Yeah.
I'm in Debbie.
Yeah.
I was
Yeah, we can do that. We should just have an anthology weekend.
Yes, we should. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I was a very dumb child in many ways, is what I'm saying, though. I was not a bright kid. I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. I've learned to love anthologies now much more, and Creepshow I actually loved even back then. So this stokes me. Honestly, the only thing I think that would stoke me more is the Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I love me some Tales from the Crypt, man.
Yeah, and that's got so many different stories you could pull from.
Oh, God. Tales from the Crypt. The only reason I sat up late at night to watch HBO that didn't involve boobs.
Yeah. I believe that, knowing you.
All right, and the final announcement is an Us haunted house, the movie Us,
right,
is coming to Universal Studios HHN at both locations.
Yeah.
They're actually doing a full haunt for this. This article is by Lucia Peters at Bustle. Yeah. This is based upon Jordan Peele's 2019 follow-up, spiritually, to Get Out. It's not a sequel to Get Out. It's the,
correct.
It's a separate film, but it's a spiritual successor, if you will. During the course of the haunt, you will explore both the Wilson Family Vacation House and the Santa Cruz Pier, which I'm going to guess the order is flipped because it starts in 1986,
right,
which takes place at the, I'm trying not to spoil anything.
Yeah.
Starts at the pier and then ends in modern times. So I'm guessing it would start at the pier and then end at the vacation house. And you'll come face to face with the Tethered, the villains from the film. And like I said, I'm not going to spoil it. It's a very recent film. And if you haven't seen it, it's worth checking out. I don't think it was as good. It wasn't as good as Get Out for me. But once again,
see, I liked both of them.
I
liked both of them. I liked Get Out a little bit more. I'll agree with you there.
Yeah.
But I liked this idea, and it's a unique idea in the horror industry. It's something we haven't seen.
And I agree with that.
And I don't know if it's, you know, people are calling it a spiritual follow-up.
Yeah, I don't know if it really is.
This is a second. But you don't look at Stephen King movies and go, oh, this is definitely a follow-up to this.
No.
If it's not explicitly said.
That's a very good point. And I guess at some point with Jordan Peele, especially if he does another horror film, we're going to have to stop saying that.
Well, yeah, because he's gone on record saying that he's always been a horror fan and that he has always wanted to make horror movies that were the ones that he would have wanted to go to, that he wanted to see. Well, so
apparently a lot of people agree with him about the movies he wanted to go see.
Yes, I am ready for the next one.
Yeah, but even though but going back to what I said earlier, even though Us, I think, is not quite as good as Get Out, still very good, but not quite as good, yeah. I think it's the better one for a haunt. It translates better to the medium than Get Out.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I would agree with that.
For a lot of reasons. One being, a haunted attraction may not be the place to explore the racial dynamics of Get Out.
Yeah.
But also, more to the point, this allows for much more of the running and the movement.
Right.
That you get.
And I think that the villains in Us are creepier.
Yeah.
And I think that that's...
It definitely gives you more to play with visually,
exactly,
than Get Out did.
Exactly.
In terms of the both the location design and the villain design.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really think this is going to translate very well to a haunted attraction.
Me too.
And like I said, the same way I didn't like House of a Thousand Corpses as much as I liked later ones, but The Devil's Rejects would make a very terrible haunt.
Yeah.
Because of the way that movie's structured.
Yeah.
You know, you really can't make a haunt out of it, but... Once again, House of a Thousand Corpses, definitely some killer haunt material in there.
No.
All right. Yeah. I think you have this one.
Okay. New poster for the horror thriller Haunt that's going to be released September 13th. Thrill seekers are looking for an extreme haunt. This is like the
houses that October built. I've been trying to figure out how this is any different from the houses that October built based upon the previews.
It has a budget.
Oh, motherfucker.
Sorry. It's going to theaters. I mean,
yeah. Well, and it's from the writers of A Quiet Place.
Right.
And it's being produced by Eli Roth. It's got an R rating, which is also, I think, is promising.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a new horror film centered around haunted attractions. This one's actually getting a theatrical release from the looks of it.
Exactly.
Everyone's focused on It, which is coming out September 6th. It's coming out this Friday.
Yes.
I will see it, but probably not right away.
Yeah, probably not.
Don't tell me how it ends. I've never seen... No, I've seen it
before. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I pray that the ending to the remake of It is not quite as asinine as the ending to the original.
And we'll see.
We're going to see, but...
But we are looking forward to seeing Haunt, and we'll... I'm sure that we will talk about how it treats the haunted house industry.
Yeah.
Although this is completely fictional and isn't trying to do what Houses October built.
It doesn't seem like they're trying to do the same thing. Where Houses of October Belt was trying to do a found footage film.
Right, and make it seem like it was real or some kind of mini doc, and had enough elements of a mini doc to make it feel more like it.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how they portray the haunted attraction industry and what they do with it. I'll be curious. We're going to be following this. Like I said, we were not thrilled with either of the houses that October built.
Right.
I did not like either of the films or their portrayal of the haunt industry.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain we've talked about that on a full review.
Oh, yeah, we did a whole episode on it. Yeah, we did a whole episode. Yeah. I don't remember which episode it was, but I'm sure you'll look it up and tell me while I start the next story. But, yeah, long story short, we'll be keeping an eye open for this one. And you should, too.
63.
Wow, we've been at this a minute.
Mm-hmm.
All right. HauntCon has announced a Haunters to Watch Award. This is interesting. We're basing this on the HauntCon announcement. Basically, they've announced a new Haunters to Watch Award. There are five categories. The first is Up and Comer. That's for anyone with a haunt that's newer than 5 years. Fastest Growing Haunt. I'm not sure what rubric would be used to measure that.
No.
The Mentor, Off-Season Business, and Excellence in Storytelling. The five winners will get one VIP pass to HauntCon 2020, a two-night hotel stay, participation in Haunters to Watch panel, a physical award, and a ceremony at the conference, and recognition on the website.
Mm-hmm.
The chair is being chaired by Philip Hernandez. The steering committee includes Scott Swenson, Robbie LaPree, and Michael Bolton. And you can nominate people right now if you are so inclined. The form will have the link to it in the show notes. You can go nominate people there.
Yeah, I definitely think that it's an interesting thing to bring this late into the game for HauntCon.
Yeah. Because
they haven't had it for years and years.
People who know me know that I'm skeptical of industry awards kind of broadly.
Yeah.
Oscars and Emmys and things like that are... Yeah, I'm skeptical.
Yeah, well, we've been skeptical about the list that come out every year about which houses how.
Those lists are all bullshit. We know that.
Yeah.
I'm not skeptical. I know they're bullshit.
And we're talking about the Giant Nationwide, not the regional ones.
Yeah. You can do a regional one pretty well. You can have people like go to the local regional haunts within a certain area and do it apples to apples comparison. But I refuse to believe that anybody out there is doing a true apples to apples comparison of every haunt in the nation.
Yeah.
To get a top 10 for USA Today or whatever.
Yeah. No.
That's not how it works.
No.
Good for business, perhaps, but doesn't mean it's less bullshit.
Right.
Still, if you've got people in mind, I know that a lot of people from various haunt groups that we participate in are listening to this, go have fun. Go nominate.
Yeah.
Go crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, our next article is from Trevor Fraser. Sure, that's not Trevor.
I think it's Trevor.
Okay. Trevor Fraser at the Orlando Sentinel.
I should not be typing anything while I am not feeling well, apparently, yeah. What I've learned.
Yeah. Haunted attraction takes sweat, tears, and a lot of blood. This is a profile piece on George Goldstein, the owner of Orlando Haunted Maze. He's admitted that he's a scary cat. He was actually banned from HHN due to a panic attack, which makes it interesting that he's building a haunt.
Yeah, we've talked many times before in this podcast about how people that are scared of haunts often are some of the best behind-the-scenes workers.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's been universally true for us. Like, our friend Alice was really good.
Yeah.
She's a scaredy cat, supreme.
Yeah. Well, and Therese would also be another.
Therese is mortified of anything remotely haunt-related.
No, that's not exactly true. But Elizabeth from BCP...
Oh, God, yes.
Would not go into the haunt by herself.
No.
Into ours.
Even lights up.
Yeah. Lights up, nobody in there, she would not do it. So, yes, she was escorted to her place, given her thing to do, and did her thing. And she did it very well.
She was excellent, actually, and her sense of timing was legit incredible.
Yeah.
So, but that's just it. People who are scared and have that inclination, I think they understand how the scare works more instinctively than a lot of times people like us do.
Yeah.
Because... you know, were harder to get. I mean, so I think they have that inclination. But so, yeah, he says he's scared of his own shadow, and given his lifetime ban from HHN.
Yeah,
I thought you had to do something like really bad to get a lifetime ban from HHN. No, just an adequate enough panic attack is all it takes.
Scare everybody with your reaction.
Now, he works as an electrician most of the year.
Yeah.
And I did like that they went into great detail about the safety that they put into it. Their plan for getting people who are too scared out, how they incorporate emergency exits, fire safety, and all that. They went into some pretty good detail about that in this piece, which you don't get enough of in these.
Right, you don't. Yeah, because, I mean,
it's not the fun part, I admit it.
Yeah, we've covered how many of these in this episode of these new places opening. Not one of them mentioned their safety protocols.
Now, I'm still a bit annoyed by the plastic visqueen walls.
Yeah, that's a little
that makes
scary.
Me pucker a little. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of those things that we've talked about before. They are more expensive long run.
Yeah,
to do visqueen walls, and B, are you trying to really, really scare people? Because if you're really, really scared, they might pull the whole thing down or go through a wall, you know?
Yeah, visqueen seems tough, and it is a lot. I mean, for a plastic sheeting, it is tough.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But when a full-ass grown adult goes crashing into it, it's not as tough as it looks.
No. Or when someone lays down on the floor and starts kicking the wall.
It will stretch. It will tear. It will do things. It will. We have limited experience with visqueen, and it was not good.
No.
So we do not use it. But still, and the other thing he has is he's a trail, and this is all outdoors, so panel construction may not make sense for him. But what I would say to him is get some fence board.
Yeah.
Fence board's not that much, it turns out. We keep finding that out.
Yeah.
We rediscover that every year like fucking clockwork.
Yeah, but we've done also calculations on which is cheaper, fence board that covers a 4x8 area or a sheet of OSB.
Yeah.
But OSB is not going to be good for an outdoor trail.
No, it would not be.
Because it wouldn't
If you're going to be outdoor, you need pressure-treated lumber, including...
Exactly.
Including your plywood, which that's going to get pricey, I admit.
Yeah, so I would go with the fence post, I think, for that.
Because that's going to be pressure-treated and ready to rock.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what we're doing with our outside areas, fence posting.
Yeah.
For that exact reason.
Yeah, because we talked about it, and it was...
We ran the numbers.
We ran the numbers. We found out that it is going to be a little more expensive to do the fence post for the same area, but it's not going to be more expensive than getting the pressure treated.
Yeah, exactly. Once you factor in that outdoor element and the pressure treated, then your cost jump. Because pressure treated plywood is silly expensive.
Yeah, because, I mean, yesterday at Home Depot, they had OSB for $7.86 a sheet.
Yeah, what the fuck? It was 7/16 inch, too. It wasn't the thin stuff.
Yeah.
It wasn't the quarter inch. It was 7/16, and it was like $7.
Yeah.
Like, what the frack?
It's like, oh, yeah, that's why we used OSB for so long.
We're poor.
Exactly.
We're poor. I forgot.
We do this for free.
Another great profile piece I wanted to share. Haunted Hills Hospital. You might remember them from the talk about Lost Souls. Where Scaring Makes a Family. This article is by Ty Vincent at Northwest Indiana Times. Long story short, this guy is 24 fucking years old.
Yeah.
I'm going to push your ass in traffic, young man.
No.
You can't be running a haunt, young man. You're much too young. I'm teasing, of course. It's awesome.
Yes. Yes, you're just trying to do the old guy get off my lawn.
Yes, I am.
But we've never been that way.
No, we have not. No, not really. No, this kid sounds really cool, actually. I'm going to call him a kid because he's 15 years younger than me. He's a fucking kid as far as I'm concerned. I'm sorry. Sorry, Justin, if you're listening, I'm sorry. Please don't take offense. But basically, his parents own the location, and he's the director of shows. Mm-hmm. So one of the things he puts on is Haunted Hills Hospital, Haunted House, which, honestly, I don't think you need the Haunted House part, the name, but whatever. But he was inspired after visiting Statesville Prison, and then he saw a video about how it was done, and about the scenes were created, and I'm assuming it was the Zombie Army Productions videos that they put out.
Right.
They have a whole YouTube channel. If you've not seen them, it's awesome.
Yeah, you should go check them out.
Go check them out. Like, just pause this and go do it now. It's great. And so now he is doing it himself. It involves some 20 managers and 120 actors. It's really expanded. It looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, I love this. This guy took inspiration from, probably the best place to take, Zombie Army. I mean, where are you going to get better inspiration from?
Yeah. Very few places.
But very few places, if any. And then he just took the football and he ran with it. And now he's got his own haunt that's, like I said, it's on Lost Souls. And you know what? That's the Jape seal of approval to me. That is one of the highest honors a haunt in that region can get in my book.
Yeah. Okay. So, the next story is that Disney's Haunted Mansion is turning 50.
Yay! Well, just turned 50. So, yes.
Yes. So, basically, it's turned 50. It's seen remarkably limited change in that time since it began. While Walt Disney was still alive. And it's still going on after he's gone. So, Leota Toombs, one of Disney's few female engineers, became the face in the crystal ball and voiced other elements of the attraction as well. But yeah.
Wow.
So,
I just looked it up. I got curious.
Uh-huh.
The McHenry area JC's Haunted House, we mentioned them, they're on the Lost Souls tour. They've been going since 1985.
Yeah.
That's 34 fucking years. I was about right when I said I think 35 years.
Yeah. Yes, they are almost as old as our brothers.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Don't. had to go there. You had to drop that, didn't you? You just had to.
I did.
That out right there, didn't you? Yeah, but no, back to the story at hand. Disney's Haunted Mansion hitting 50. This is incredible. And one of the things the article pointed out was, like, other attractions, especially from that era, have either been torn down and something new has been put in, or they've oftentimes been rethemed with more modern movies.
Right.
We've seen that a lot. Like, even Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, got rethemed for the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it inspired the movies, and the movies inspired changes. It's the circle of life.
Right.
At Disney.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, but Alien Encounters was rethemed into Stitch's thing.
You know what? Fuck you for raising that specter. Just fuck you.
Me too. You're that is talking about things changing.
That is a sore spot, and you know it.
I do.
that hurts.
Yeah.
Making fun of the sick guy here. Come on. But no, it's really cool that it stayed almost exactly the same. They've upgraded some of the effects and made some changes.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool. And by the way, one interesting thing that a YouTube video explored, the stretching room at this haunted attraction is an actual elevator.
Yeah.
It goes down and gets you underground so you can go to the actual attraction part. The one at Orlando doesn't do that. It's just a stretching room.
Yeah.
But this one is an actual elevator. That makes it the largest capacity passenger elevator in the United States.
That's pretty interesting.
Possibly the world.
Yeah. Well, that's.
And you don't even know you're on an elevator.
No.
It's pretty amazing, you know, just to say it.
So did you went to the Haunted Mansion.
And the one in Orlando, yes.
Okay. Did you think that the effects held up whenever you were there?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So that means that something created 50 years ago is still holding up today through practical effects.
You know, it's interesting. I remember seeing when I was, I went to a Ripley's at in Myrtle Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Went there as a teenager.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing they had a hologram of a leprechaun, and very insensitive in many respects.
Uh-huh.
But he's sitting on a jar and he falls, and it looked so good.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect 3D. I have still today not seen a hologram that looked that good as I did, what would it be, 25 years ago now.
Yeah. Yeah. We went, I don't think that it was still working.
I don't think they still had it then, but
whenever we went. Yeah.
But no, I mean, but I've seen technology from that era that holds on very, very well. It was stupid expensive then.
Yeah.
Only Disney could afford it.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the MOs is if you can afford to literally pay people to invent the technology, you're going to stay cutting edge for a bit longer.
Exactly.
I think that's the secret to Disney. All right. Well, our last story this week, if you're looking for something to sell at your snacks booth or whatever, we got an idea for you.
Mm-hmm.
zombie Skittles are coming this Halloween.
Yeah.
Now, they actually announced, for some reason, they announced this last year for this year.
Yeah.
They're making the debut this year, but they were announced Halloween last year.
Yeah.
Because it's just fuck weird. Logic, right?
Yeah.
just screw that. By the article is by Mike Pomeranz at Food and Wine. But basically what zombie Skittles are, it's a bit of Russian roulette with your Skittles.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the Skittles are regular Skittle flavors, which if you like Skittles, good for you. I personally do not like Skittles, so this sounds like complete torture. But anyways, however, a small number of them, they don't say how many. They're very...
Yeah, I would want to know the percentage, because if it's a small enough number, then you could even, like, put them in a dispenser and do little prizes if you get one of the nasty ones.
Just don't warn people you're doing it.
Okay.
Just be horrible and cruel about it, why don't you? But most of them are regular, but some of them, without any indication, are zombie flavored, and they really don't describe zombie flavor other than rotting, disgusting. They say everyone's palate will read it differently.
Yeah.
But they're using the hashtag Dare the Rainbow to promote this. Mm-hmm. And the box looks really, really cool. It's a gray box with a zombie hand holding the Skittles box with it.
Yeah, the artwork on the
it's very cool. The artwork's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be available at major retailers in a share size, a lay-down bag, which is the big bag that just plops down the table.
Yeah.
And fun-size bags. So, yeah, something for your customers. What?
There's a candy dispenser on my floor at work that sometimes has Skittles in it.
Yeah, this could get evil. Yeah, I am not a Skittles fan, personally. I never understood the love for Skittles. But, you know, this is if you're not selling this at your concession stand, I think you're missing an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's the safest way to put it.
Yeah.
And I would definitely carry the boxes of it, because that's something like two or three people can share and have a little Russian roulette between them.
Yeah. Well, there's also things like zombie mints that my brother's bought for me before.
Mm-hmm.
So that increases what you're selling in your concession stand to something that can be a collector thing, because it came in a little collector tin and, you know, so.
Could be fun. Well, that's all the news fit to print this week, and it was a jam-pack. We had to cut a lot of stories out. If there was a story we missed, odds are it either ended up on the cutting room floor or we didn't hear about it.
No.
But either way, we appreciate you joining us for this past hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
This has been episode 196 of Haunt Weekly, talking about the August-September news. You can find us at hauntweekly.com or Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. We're also at Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever finer podcasts are distributed.
And if you have any ideas about what you would want us to do, you want us to do a live thing or something
for
our 200th episode, our 200's also divisible by 4, so we know what we're going to be doing talking about.
Well, we don't usually do the news on the one. We didn't do it for 100.
Okay. But
doesn't have to be the news.
But if you wanted to do something like that, let us know at any of the places that you just mentioned.
Yep, you can drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Love to get your feedback on what we should be doing for 200th celebration. We ain't got any clues, so...
Yeah.
Help us, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're our only hope. But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we will see you guys next week when we're doing, it looks like, the Retail Roundup. Yeehaw! Retail Roundup!
Yeah. Although, you know, some of the superstores have not put out their stuff yet.
Boo!
Yeah.
Boo them! Boo them! Make them feel bad!
Yes.
We'll see you then.